Turn again tonight to Ephesians chapter 5 and read the Word of God from Ephesians 5. Having considered the calling of husbands last week, we consider the calling of wives tonight. And the text we consider is verses 22 through 24. And we will begin reading at verse 1 of Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And now the text we consider tonight. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Thus far, we read the Word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. The Word of God that we consider tonight is the Word submit. Submit. That's a difficult word for wives, women, especially women who are wives, to hear from the Word of God. If we have the wrong perspective on the word and the concept of submission. And let us admit that inasmuch as verse 19 teaches us that the Word of God requires submission, not only of women and of wives, but also of all believers in Jesus Christ, that it's not only the women and the wives, but the men and everyone in the congregation too, who might have the natural response to the Word of God that says, submit, might have the natural response that says, I don't like that word. I don't want to hear that word. Submission, we think, when we're thinking from a carnal point of view, is bondage. The opposite of liberty and freedom, which we suppose, again, when we're thinking carnally, we suppose that liberty means this: freedom from all authority, so that I am my own king, my own Lord, and I am able to do as I please. This is what the world proclaims as freedom for all men, and what the world proclaims as freedom for women, outside of, but also inside of, marriage. You don't need to be under the authority of your husband. There's no need for you to submit. This is your freedom. You may be independent. You may live your life your own way on your own terms. And there's a certain attractiveness to that thinking, to women and to men. After all, the thought is this: that's the way to have happiness. That's the way to enjoy satisfaction and fulfillment. After all, who knows what will make me happy better than me? Therefore, if I have no one to tell me what to do and I can pursue what I want to pursue, I will make myself happy. That is carnal thinking. Whether you find that thinking in the world or you find that thinking in the church, you find that thinking in your own heart and mind. That thinking is carnal and therefore wrong. The truth is that liberty is found only in Christ. Liberty is freedom from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. And liberty is freedom from the power of sin that comes only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So that this is liberty: to stand as the servant of God, to stand as one who has the right to serve God, and then the ability by God's grace to keep His commandments, to do His will. Those who have that liberty know, as the children of light, God knows better than me what will bring me happiness. And He lays before me what will bring me happiness in His law, in His word. And this is the way, then, that all of us must listen to the word of God when it comes to us and says, submit. No, to your way of thinking, that might not sound like a good thing. To the world's way of thinking, that certainly is not a good thing. This is an evil. This is a horrible thing. But this is the word of God, who is all wise and who knows what is good. And so, to the women, especially to the wives, I say, don't look at this word of God tonight as a discouraging word that puts you in your place by putting you down. Don't look at this as a word that says, now you have a very low and demeaning place. But rather, understand that this word of God is indeed a word that puts you in your place, your God-given place. And it's a beautiful word, because when you occupy your God-given place and behave according to the word of God in that place, you find fulfillment that no rebellious woman can ever find. And that fulfillment is certainly not in a career, And that fulfillment is not merely in the husband God has given you, although that's true too. Nor is that fulfillment merely in the children, in the family that God has given you. But that fulfillment, that satisfaction and happiness is found in God. Fellowship with God. And so, this is beautiful in the eyes of God and blessed by God. The submission of wives to their husbands. That's the theme for the sermon tonight. The submission of wives to their husbands. We notice the calling placed before the wives here tonight in the first place. Secondly, the ground for this calling. And then thirdly, the blessedness of this calling. The calling of the wife, very clearly in the passage, is to submit to her husband. Clearly then, the passage teaches us that the marriage relationship is a relationship in which there is one who has authority and one who is subject to that authority. The husband is the ruler. He is the head. He is the one given by God authority in the marriage, and he is the one then who, as we saw last week and we're reminded again tonight, represents Jesus Christ in the marriage. The wife is the subject, not given a place above her husband, not given a place equal with her husband in marriage either, but she is given the place in subjection to her husband. She represents the church in marriage. Just as the church is in subjection to the authority of Jesus Christ, the head, so the wife is in subjection to the authority of her husband, the head, in marriage. And the wife, submitting then to her husband, does this. She simply says, I know that you are my head. I know that you are my ruler. I know that you have authority over me. And with my heart and with my mind, I willingly place myself under that authority. That's submission. Understand then that submission is different from obedience. When the apostle says to wives, submit to your husbands, he is saying this. Recognize the rule, recognize the authority that your husband has over you. That's different from obedience. Obedience is this. If your husband tells you what to do, if he gives you a command, you do what he tells you to do. But you see, that's the fruit of submission. Obedience is always the fruit of submission. Why would anyone obey anyone else? The answer is because they see in that other person authority. You have authority over me. You have been placed over me by God. Therefore, you have the right to command me so that what you tell me to do, I must do. And so, and this is what's important. By telling the wife to submit, not to obey, but to submit, the apostle is pointing not merely to the outward behavior of the wife towards her husband in marriage, but he's pointing to her heart. He's pointing to her attitude. He's pointing to her mind and saying, now this is what you must do in your marriage. You must reckon yourself, see yourself as under the authority of your husband. And that this submission has to do with the heart is clear from verse 33, which we didn't read tonight, but where the apostle says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, pointing to the duty of the husband. But then he says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The idea here is that the wife is to see her husband as above her, fear her, reverence him, rather. And the idea here is that submission is an attitude of the heart and of the mind. The believing woman is, according to the marriage form in the back of our Psalter, not simply to obey her husband outwardly, but to love, honor, and fear her husband. The believing woman then is not a hypocrite and may not be a hypocrite. One who outwardly gives the appearance of her submission by going about her duties obeying her husband, but who inwardly smolders with hatred and anger and rebellion against her husband. That's sin against the command of the apostle here in the text when he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands. Have a proper attitude of love, reverence, and honor for your husband." The believing woman must be sincere as a God-fearing woman, loving, fearing, and honoring her husband, and then yielding to him, and yes, obeying him. Not in everything. That's not the apostle's command. Wives, obey your husbands in everything. No, the wife must not be afraid that submitting to her husband means that she might be put in a situation where she must obey her husband even if he commands her to do something against the law of God. The Word of God nowhere says to wives, you are to obey your husband absolutely and unconditionally. The Word of God says that to no one who is under authority. With regard to the human authority over them, you are to obey that person absolutely and unconditionally. Children know that they are not to obey their parents when their parents command them to sin. The same is true of the wife. The response of the wife to her husband must be, if the husband places upon her a foolish and sinful demand, I will not obey you, a man, but I will obey God. Absolute, unconditional obedience is to be given to God. But what the apostle does demand here is, and let the women in the congregation take this to heart, absolute, unconditional submission to her husband. You notice in verse 22 that the apostle says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then in verse 24, he speaks of subjection. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. When a wife submits to her husband properly, she recognizes the answer to the question, when do I submit to my husband, is always, always. Even when he fails in his calling, even when he doesn't love me and give himself for me, as Christ loved and gave himself for the church. I must reverence him, the God-fearing wife says, even when he doesn't love me as his own body. Even when he doesn't cherish and nurture me as his own body. When he's neglectful. When he's a brute. Always, in everything, I must submit to my own husband. And that means that just as the husband errs greatly in marriage and causes great trouble in marriage, if he ever says, I can't love her because she doesn't deserve it. Oh, that is the root of many marriage problems. So also, the wife makes a grave mistake and causes many problems in marriage if she ever says, I can't And I won't reverence that man because he doesn't deserve it. The Word of God says here very plainly, in everything, unconditionally, no excuse is given by God, no valid excuse is given by God to any wife to ever say, I won't reverence this man who is my husband. In everything, at all times. But we notice that the apostle does not say here, be in subjection to your husband at all times. And that means that in everything has more to say to the wife than simply this, submit to your husband at all times. The meaning is broader than that. What the apostle is saying to the wife, your whole life. That's what in everything means. Your whole life is to be lived in subjection to your husband. Your whole life is to be devoted to this. This is your identity now. This man whom God has joined to you in marriage is the man that you are to help by living your whole life in subjection and in devotion to him. Now, to many, that sounds demeaning and horrible. This is saying to the woman that she doesn't have any independence. This is saying to the woman she doesn't have her own identity. This is saying to the woman that she has to live under the rule of her husband with regard not only to the time when they're together, but with regard to all of her time, all of her activities, even in the home, even in the managing of the house and the cooking and the cleaning and even in the care of the children, she is to be in subjection to her husband. How demeaning. How horrible. No. To the God-fearing woman, this is a beautiful thing. Positive. Yes, I do give up my independence, but then she remembers, my husband really does too. He is called always to love me and to think of me as Christ always loves and thinks of the church. We have been joined together as a one flesh couple so that his life is my life and my life is his life. And God has created this relationship in order for there to be this intimacy in this relationship that doesn't exist in any other relationship. And in order for me and my husband to have this friendship, this intimacy and closeness, he needs to occupy his place as the ruler. And I need to occupy my place as the wife who lives in subjection to him, living my whole life to help him. And so she willingly gives up her independence. And she doesn't lose her identity. She doesn't have the attitude that says, I want my own identity apart from my husband. But she is very pleased to have her identity wrapped up with her husband. So their life is one of close friendship and unity. And she willingly says, this is my goal. That my life be devoted to the man, my own husband, that God has suited me for to be a help. You see then that the God-fearing woman is not a wife who wants independence from her husband. She's not a wife who will seek fulfillment in a career or anything apart from her husband. She is not a wife who lives in open rebellion and warfare against her husband, finding every opportunity, privately maybe, but also publicly, to criticize, to insult, to cut down her husband. Nor is she a wife who more in more passive ways revolts against her husband, silently refusing to ever obey any of his commands, silently determining that she is going to thwart and overturn decisions that he makes with regard to their marriage or any other aspect of their life. And she's not the kind of woman either who says, because it's expected of me and because it's an old-fashioned idea that we are sticking to, I'm going to occupy this place in subjection to my husband. No, she is the kind of woman who says, this is my place. This is the place that I willingly take up in love for my husband, to submit to him in everything. That's the calling of the Christian wife. To be in subjection in everything. Now, it's important to understand the reason for that. It's important for the men in the church to understand the reason for this. Why does God not give to the wife authority and call her to be in submission? It's important for the women in the congregation to understand the reason for that, and for the children as well. And it must be understood that the reason for the submission of the wife, the ground for that submission, is not she's less capable. She's less intelligent. She has lesser gifts. She doesn't have the gifts for government, for oversight in the home. It's very serious that we do not make that the ground for why in marriage the wife is not the head and ruler, but in subjection to her husband. If we make that the ground, we have determined that somehow the wife is less capable, has less abilities than her husband. It won't be very long as we observe men and women in their relationships that we're going to find some instances where we say that woman is as capable as her husband and even more capable than her husband. Look at the way that she manages the children. Look at the way she manages the household. That's a woman of intelligence. That's a woman who has been given by God the gift of government and order. And then we might conclude she should be the head of her husband. That's not far-fetched. That's exactly how many in the church today are thinking. Not only with regard to women in marriage, but also with regard to women in the church holding church office, positions of authority. Why have churches that once forbid women to hold offices, why have they determined to allow them to be elders and ministers and deacons? The answer, if you ask those who have done that, will not be this: because we have discovered a passage in the Word of God where God says women have that right, they have that authority, they may hold those positions. The answer instead will be this: we have given them that authority on the ground of their abilities. We have seen that the women in the church have wisdom. They have natural wisdom, natural intelligence. They have spiritual wisdom and gifts too. And so we have said they need to have these positions of authority in the church and then also in the home. The impression is given then that we, by demanding that the women not have authority in the church or in the home, demean the women. Say the women have less value and worth than the men and less ability and gifts. And we need to very insistently respond to that we do not demean women. We do not put down their intelligence or their abilities and gifts. And our response must be that to say that women must be in subjection to their husbands in marriage and must be in subjection in the church and not hold office is demeaning, is actually an insult to God. And that is to say that God is demeaning to women and that God does not value women, which is flatly contrary to what we read in Scripture. God does not have a low view of women whom He made in His image, nor does He have a low view of the Christian wife in particular, whom He values as far above rubies. No. The ground for why women do not have authority over their husbands in the marriage is simply this. This is the will of God for the wife. He has not given her the place of rule. God has given her the place of subjection in the marriage. And you recall, that goes back to creation. In the beginning, God made Adam first, then Eve the woman. This also has to do with the fall into sin. The woman abandoned or usurped authority rather over her husband, abandoned his authority by eating the fruit and falling into sin before the man. And God's rule is that the woman therefore shall not have rule over the man, but shall be in subjection to him. And now too, after the fall, women who are saved by God's grace in Jesus Christ are told by God, by the inspired apostle, this is my place for you, to be in subjection to your husbands. What a beautiful thing when God comes to anyone and says, in my grace for you through Jesus Christ, in which I work everything for your good, I have given you a gift. It's for your good. And just as God said, and we saw that last week to the man, and says to every husband in the congregation, I give you your wife, not to hate, but to love. So God says to every woman, to every wife in the congregation, I give you a husband to love, yes, to honor, to fear, and to obey in all things lawful. And the picture that we have here in the text of this, which explains that this is God's place for the woman, is the picture of a head and a body. Why are wives to submit to their husbands? Here's the answer. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The head is the ruler of the body, of your bodies and mine. The body does what the head tells it to do. It's in subjection to the head. The head tells the body when to run, when to walk, when to rest. The head tells the body when to eat, when to do anything. And when the head tells the hand or the foot or any part of the body what to do, that body in subjection to the head submits and obeys. This is explained as now a parable of marriage. This is explained of now, this is how it's supposed to work in marriage. The husband is the head. He is the head in marriage. He is the ruler. He is the one who has authority. The wife is the body who does what her head tells her to do. Submitting, verse 22 says, unto him as unto the Lord. Do you wives call your husbands Lord? Well, that's not really the important thing. The important thing is this. This is what God requires. That you view Him that way. That your attitude toward your husband. He is my head. He's my Lord. He has authority over me to tell me what to do. This is what 1 Peter chapter 3 reveals about the relationship between Abraham and his God-fearing wife, Sarah. She was a wife and who was an example of one who submitted to her husband in this way. She recognized his authority and she placed herself under that authority, calling him her Lord. And all of the women in the congregation who have that attitude towards their husbands, Peter says, you are the daughters of Sarah. The meaning of the apostle, when he says, though, in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, is deeper than that. He's not saying, submit to your husband as unto the Lord because he is your Lord who has authority over you in the marriage. But when he says, submit as unto the Lord, he is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is referring to the Savior of the woman, the one who is the Savior of the body, the church, but who is the Savior of the woman too. So that when a wife submits to her husband, she is not submitting to a mere man. But when she places herself under the authority of her husband, she is submitting to her Savior, Jesus Christ, who has placed that husband over her. And so that if the wife rebels and revolts against her husband, she is rebelling against, that's her sin, revolting against Jesus Christ himself. This is what makes submission beautiful. In any relationship where there is authority, I know that for me, that it's always a motivating factor for me to be submissive to those who are in authority over me. When I'm able to say, this is God's will for me. This is not only His command to me, but this person who has authority over me is the person that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed over me. And therefore, I'm not going to find, and the wife must say this too, excuse not to submit because of cruelty or any other sin on the part of the person who rules over me, because I submit not to a mere human being, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is freedom for the Christian wife. Her freedom in marriage is that she does not live to please her husband. Her freedom in marriage is that she does not live either to please herself. Nor does she live, and this is very important for the Christian wife to understand, to please others or to live up to the standards of other women that she sees in the church who she considers to be faithful women. Oh yes, there is a place for the women in the church to follow the example, the younger women to follow the example of the older women. And there's a place for the older women to say to the younger women, you need instruction. You need to love your husband and your children and to be a keeper at home and to follow my example. But the older women must understand that they are never to hold out before the younger women, you need to please me and you need to meet my standard when it comes to cleaning the home, cooking, caring for the children, and all the rest. But the older women need to say, it's It's all about serving Jesus Christ. And for his sake, helping the husband God has given you. So how I devote myself and help my husband may not be what you need to do to devote yourself to your husband and help him. You, for Jesus' sake, submit to and help your own husband. And in that, there is great happiness as well as freedom. Consider for a moment the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. What is the way of happiness and blessedness for the church? Is it the way of independence? Is it the way of abandoning Christ and the way of going one's own way? Is that when you find happiness in the way of rebellion and disobedience? No, when we depart from Christ, that's when life becomes miserable and unbearable. Happiness is in the church, submitting to and living with Christ. Think also of the head and the body. What would happen to the relationship between your head and your body if the head were to say to the body, I am going to give up my rule over you. I'm not going to care for you anymore. Or if the body were to say to the head, I reject your rule and I'm going to go my own way. In the way of rebellion and independence, there's no happiness or even life possible for the body. And that's what God is saying to the godly wife. Not to every woman. God is not saying to every woman, you need to have a husband. And the only way to have happiness and blessedness is to have a husband. But to those who do have a husband, God is saying, I gave him to you. And I determined that this is right for you. The best thing for you. To enjoy salvation. To develop your natural, your spiritual talents and gifts. Beloved, for the sake of harmony, peace, fellowship, the body, the wife submitting to the husband, is absolutely necessary and beautiful. This does not suppress the wife. This does not take away from her freedom. This does not take away from her the ability to develop her gifts, to have her own independent thoughts and ideas. No. When she occupies the place God has given her as the help to her husband, that's the place where she is able to grow and develop and to flourish the most. Just as if the body ever hopes to grow and develop, it must be subject to the head. Let the believing woman say this night, this is my freedom. This is good. I am redeemed from my sin through Jesus Christ, and I'm at liberty to serve him by living in obedience to him, by living in subjection to my husband. Have they, the women in the world, in rebelling against this word of God, and in rebelling against their husbands, and seeking to find fulfillment in independentism, have they found the recipe to marital bliss and family happiness? Isn't the evidence all around us? As we see marriages blown to pieces by divorce, yes, because husbands have not loved their wives as Christ loves the church. But also for this reason, because wives will not submit to their husbands as the church does to Christ. And what about not only the marriages, the children and the rest of their lives? Have they found happiness? No. Disobedience to the Lord we see all around us has brought brokenness, bitterness, pain, and sorrow. Let the men in the congregation love their wives as Christ loves the church. And the women love their husbands and submit to them as the church submits to Christ. Then will be our marriages happy. Then will be the children happy. Then will be the congregation happy and blessed too. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts that we may receive it in faith as women and as wives, but also as thy children. For we know that the husband is the head of Christ, or is the head of the wife, but that Christ is the head of the husband, and that thou art the head over all. Therefore, grant that we may understand that submission is a gift, and that submission is a beautiful and wonderful gift, and that when thou dost give to us the grace to submit to thee and to our Lord Jesus Christ in our marriages and in all of our lives, that's the way of happiness. So bless and prosper us as a congregation that we may see and enjoy the manifestation of Christ's marriage to the church in our earthly marriages. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.